think we are live, or we will be. Yep, we're there. Okay. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I am here, surprised, with the lovely and talented Dana Morningstar. Dana, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's great to be back. It's been a while. So we apologize, you guys, but we are back at it.
Yes, we had a couple of weeks, a few weeks maybe that were a little rough, but we got there. I'm trying to find my mute button so I don't hear myself talking. Okay, there we go. Yes. And Dana, you're feeling better?
I am. Yeah, it's amazing how much can change in a few weeks.
Right.
So I think the last time we live streamed, the coronavirus wasn't even a thing, or if it was a thing, it was still a relatively small thing in China.
Yeah, ignorable by us.
And ignorable by us and seemingly under control. And so there was just a lot of confusion about everything. And
yeah
I've been trapped, you know, the world changes every hour, basically now. But at that time, a couple of weeks ago, I was traveling, which now is kind of a scary thing, and had a cold that I was really struggling with. And, you know, they won't test you. I'd called the other day to see if I could get tested. And unless you're basically needing, if you have life-threatening symptoms, they'll test you. But if not, at least where I am, they won't do that. So there's all of these kind of great unknowns right now with all of that. So I just have been doing my best to stay at home, and I just wear a bandana when I go out in public around my mouth and my nose, and just try the whole social distancing thing, staying 6 feet or so away from another person and doing that. How are you doing? What are you doing with all this?
Well, you know, as far as staying home, that's not a huge issue for me because I work from home like you do, I think.
Yeah.
But it is, the kids are stir crazy, of course, and that's difficult. I've been shopping at a tiny market, which I think is helpful because it's not as crowded, but I still feel a little anxious when people get closer to me than 6 feet. I did get some little masks that we can, where they're not the proper, what are those ones called?
The N95 or something.
Yeah, it's not that. I couldn't find anything like that.
Yeah,
I did find some basic stuff. So we have those, and I bought some gloves that we can all wear and dispose of as soon as we get home, if we do have to go out. So, and conveniently, I bought a freezer, a month ago, just because I wanted one and needed one in this location. And so I was pretty happy about that because now I could stock it up a little bit. So that's helpful, but it's very scary. And it's, I think when you're thinking about going through the day-to-day stuff, I mean, you don't think about, I can't shake hands with someone, or I can't, hug someone or whatever. And I know the French people, I'm thinking of this because my husband works for a French company, but they sent out a memo. They can't kiss anyone because I guess, in Europe, they tend to kiss on the cheeks, and that's just a dangerous thing. Yeah. Right. Sue said in 95 masks. Yeah. Yeah. And the schools are shut down here until at least April 7th. And actually April 8th is when the spring break starts. So probably till the middle of April, mm-hmm. at least. I know in Kansas, they shut the schools down for the rest of the year, which I found shocking. I've never seen anything like this in my lifetime. Have you?
Oh yeah. No, I don't think that the world has ever seen anything like this. It's a first. And,
I did a little research, and I found out that there was a Spanish flu in 1918, almost just over 100 years ago, mm-hmm. where everything shut down like this. Of course, they didn't have the internet back then, and
right,
but I found that really, I guess, a little hope in that maybe, and with our modern advances in medicine, maybe we can all be okay. But I've heard people say, that there might be a conspiracy around this, which I think is dangerous for people.
What kind of conspiracy?
Well, people have said maybe it has to do with going through you know, one person told me it was something to do with they were going to go around and arrest all the people in this one particular ring that maybe Harvey Weinstein had been a part of, that ring. Over the world, I don't believe that. Another person told me that it might be, you know, aliens.
Okay.
Because they're trying so hard to keep everybody separate. And I've heard all different things. I've heard it's an election thing. I don't think it's that. I mean, it came from China. So I don't know what they would possibly be doing. I mean, of course, I can't discount anything, but I can't imagine the whole world needs to, you know, separate. And I don't know. It's the whole world.
Well, and I think, you know, when talk of this virus first came out, people, myself included, you know, the media is so sensationalized that it's hard. Everything's a big deal, right? Yeah. I mean, if there's a shark attack or two shark attacks one summer, the next thing you know, they just run that story over and over again. And it seems like it's an instant death if you get into the water. So there's all of this kind of fear mongering and sensationalism going on. So it's hard to know how bad something really is. And I think that there was a lot of us that thought, well, this will be handled, this will be maintained. And then realizing, oh, actually, no, this is a huge deal. And this is the one time they really weren't making a big deal out of things.
Right.
So
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
And with the hands thing, I find myself in public. This is kind of back to the how we're coping thing. Mm-hmm. I find myself like this in public with my hands constantly, almost like I need to show them because I'm so, like, I'm not trying to touch anything. I was at the grocery store the other day, my nose started itching and I'm like, oh no, what am I going to do? I didn't scratch it. I just dealt with it because I'm not trying to get that. It's just really scary. And then you think about the people who are still working right now, the people, I mean, gas stations, the grocery stores, you know, and stuff like that. And then you think about the businesses, like the little tiny mom and pop places that don't have any corporate backing, you know, and you think, gosh, they don't all have the ability to work from home, you know.
Oh yeah.
Restaurants, yeah. And, you know, yeah, it's something.
It's, the world is seeing some pretty major changes right now. And for people like within our community, you know, that are already struggling with trauma and feeling overwhelmed and major changes in their life, you know, if they're leaving their relationship or wanting to or whatever, I mean, there's just so many unknowns that it can really feel overwhelming and it can really contribute significantly to existing anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And I think the mental health component of this is just as significant as handling the virus itself. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just really important that we stress to our community that really getting clear with how can you take care of yourself during this time. I've struggled with this too. I actually came up with something last night because I struggle with depression and trying to kind of figure out. I tend to not know when things are bad until they're really bad.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking last night, well, you know how they have the pain scale, mm-hmm. you know, like a 0 to 10 pain scale, 10 being worst pain you've ever felt, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to come up with something like that for depression. And I know everybody experiences depression differently, but at least for my own depression and how I experience it. So that way I can know at a glance of, okay, actually I'm at a 6 or a 7. This is major. I need to do something different.
I think that's a great idea, Dana.
I think it's really helpful. And I was thinking, you know, that probably be a good tip to pass along to other people that are struggling with anxiety and depression. So you can just get clear with yourself about where you are and then maybe write out a list. Doesn't have to be anything extensive, but what has worked in the past to get you, you know, back to a level that your life is manageable and that you're functioning well.
Yeah. I think that's really important. Mm-hmm. And I think that's smart because even right now, I mean, like, even if you don't normally struggle with depression, you might find yourself there. I have found myself there a couple times and I work from home most of the time, but it's because everything is so scary and everything is so, you know, like my son, for example, my 15, 16 year old, excuse me. He is rarely, I mean, he has his moments, you know, but he's right now really, he struggled a little bit and he found himself like, I don't know what to do. Like he cleaned his room, you know, he did all this extra stuff that he doesn't normally have time to do. He's doing his schoolwork, but he's just kind of like, oh my gosh, what am I supposed to, you know, how do I, too much time to think is what it comes down to when he's usually very busy, you know, with band and all this other stuff he does with school. So, and his friends, you know, they can't hang out with his friends right now directly. So he decided he was going to start a new Minecraft server, which is something he's into. And that was going to, you know, be a little project for him. And I think that's something we can all learn from my 16-year-old, not necessarily a Minecraft server, but a little project. It can be a really great time to start some kind of, in addition to the self-care stuff and awareness and all that, start some little project, whether it's something you do online or maybe going to redecorate a room or, you know, anything like that where you can kind of, you know, start something different, maybe a journal or a blog, whatever, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's so many wonderful videos on YouTube of, I mean, you've got craft videos up the wazoo on YouTube. You've got videos on how to do abstract paintings.
Yes.
Which is fun. Watercolors, you know, how to play guitar, you know, nail tutorials, just things. Yeah, I know I might, but like, yeah, all different kinds of things, how to make your own soap. I've always been big into kind of self-sufficiency stuff. So the idea, and I have a ton, I used to make my own soap. I have a ton of soap making stuff. Awesome. And that's fun. And then at the end of all this, you can give it away as a gift.
Absolutely.
If you don't use it, you know?
Indoor gardening is another big thing right now, or outdoor, depending on where you live. Yeah. A lot of really interesting things you can do. And a lot of the stuff you have right around your house, some of it you might be able to order online, but that's getting a little slower right now.
Yeah.
But there are so many different things. And so I think a project can be therapeutic regardless of, I mean, literally for anyone going through recovery, in my opinion. But especially now when you have too much time to think. That's, to me, that's like too much time to think is a time when, especially for me, if I have too much time on my hand, like, for example, on my birthday, I decided I was going to stay home. I was going to do nothing. And I was not going to, you know, have anybody over. I just wanted to be by myself. I mean, my kids were around, but they were doing their thing, you know, and I wanted to make no big deal out of it. And so what did I have? Too much time to think. I thought, you know, I thought too much. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't think. I'm just saying that there's a point at which it becomes overthinking. And right now, I think we're at especially a big risk of that, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. People are saying here in the chat, Beth says, I love how this is forcing people to reprioritize. And
yes.
Hello World mentions, oh, you know, there's sewing tutorials out there. Yes. Life is a Journey mentions learning a new language, and Sky Dream mentions learning new cooking recipes.
All of that is good. And you can do all of that for free on YouTube, but means most of it.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that's what's so wonderful. There's so much stuff out there. Some friends of mine, we were joking about coming up with some cooking recipes. And do you remember the show Iron Chef?
Yes.
Okay. How they'll have like two or, you know, they have a limited amount of ingredients and they're all kind of random.
Yeah.
And then you have to come up with something. So we were kind of joking saying, okay, this is the coronavirus version of Iron Chef where you have randomness, like cilantro, peaches, and an onion. And what can you make with that? Go.
Salsa. Right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. You're good. Yeah. See, we did that before this all happened, like a year or so ago. We had Iron Chef at our house and we all picked different, you know, we basically, the ingredients were thrown on the table and everybody grabbed what they wanted and we all cooked this ridiculously mismatched meal, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
You could do that if you're stuck with people. And just recently I finally learned how to make monkey bread, which I know is not technically totally homemade, but it was delicious. Not very healthy, but delicious. So I mean, there's always something that you can, like, I would have never made monkey bread on a normal. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
Oh my gosh, Dana. you take cinnamon rolls and you cut them up into like quarters. And then you, I got to tell you, this is the best thing. And you put them in this pan. Oh, before you do that, you roll them in a cinnamon sugar mixture, right? Put them in this pan, a bundt pan, ideally. I didn't have one, but I ordered one. and then you create this brown sugar butter mixture, which is essentially what caramel is. And you heat it up until it all blends together properly. Then you pour it over the top. Then you flip it out when it's done. And it's like sinfully delicious.
That sounds amazing.
It's even good cold. I thought, no way, because there was no way we could eat the whole thing at one sitting. You know, it was mm-hmm. too, you know, and so my kids came down later and they were like, wait, you know, can we still eat the monkey bread? I'm like, yeah, go ahead. And it was still soft and good. I was quite surprised.
Yeah.
It was really impressive. Anyway, monkey bread, everybody. All right.
And, you know, I also wanted to add, because I know that there's a lot of legitimate concern about people are not working or been laid off or, there's anxiety about this. And if you guys are at all familiar with the whole Dave Ramsey approach to money management, his whole thing is first and foremost, it's food, clothing, shelter. And I think that's really important to hammer home here because it's easy to kind of, when we're in a panic, to start thinking, to kind of misprioritize things and to think, okay, well, that rent comes before food, or that paying that credit card bill comes before rent or comes before food. And this is a time where we really need to prioritize. First and foremost, it's going to be food. Thankfully, a lot of places are allowing flexibility with shelter. Mm-hmm. So it's really important that people trim the fat across the board on what you can as expenses wise and pay the unnecessary bills that are not going to affect your immediate well-being last. And make partial payments. Even if you have the money in the bank and you can, you know, pay your credit card off in full, it's probably a good time to just make those minimum payments if you're going to make them at all right now and just stay as liquid as you possibly can, because we don't know how long this is going to last.
That's right.
So,
and I did hear, you know, they're working out some sort of relief package, but we don't know what that means. And we don't know who gets what, because I was assuming when I was hearing about it that, you know, the less money you make, the more money you'll get. But no, I heard today, I think that's not the proposed package. And I think that's kind of ridiculous if mm-hmm. you think about it. And I don't know why they would just blanket send it to people. I would think they would need to do some kind of qualification process. I don't know the whole thing, but the point is we can't count on that necessarily, depending on, you know, our situation. So I think that's a really valid and important thing that you know, to put your food first and a lot of them, I don't know about all the different countries. I know we have people here not from the US, but I know that in the US, I think every state, and if I'm wrong, please correct me if you know, but I think every state has put like a moratorium on evictions. And I don't know for sure what the deal is with mortgages, but I believe they're basically stopping everything or pausing everything for now so that people can stay safely inside and stuff. And I did hear did you hear about the, I think it's New Jersey. They had a tiny home community set up or something, and they were giving the homes to, or loaning the homes to homeless people so they don't have to be out in the world. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sue says there's talk the schools will be shut down for the rest of the school season in New Jersey. And that's, like I said, that's already happening in Kansas. And here we're currently out until probably the middle of April, which is so weird. But yeah.
Yeah. I like the idea of thinking about, okay, how, when we're on the other side of this, what are you going to look back and think, boy, I really wish I would have done that, or that would have been fun?
Great question.
Because I think also kind of steering into what would be fun mm-hmm. is going to be helpful. So how can you make this, you know, somebody mentioned in the chat, I was talking about the Iron Chef coronavirus version, and she said, oh, we'll call it Quarantine Chef, you know, coming up with fun little things like this to do, to just kind of enjoy as much as we can every day, because we just don't know what's going to happen. And worrying about things isn't helpful. Even though it feels helpful, it's not helpful unless we're going to take some sort of action. And there's only so much action we can take with this. So, you know, doing what you can for your mental health, or thinking about, okay, in 3 months from now, let's say, where do you want to be? In 3 months, you can get a pretty good grasp of a foreign language. Duolingo is a free app, and it's fun, and it's easy, and it's enjoyable. And that's something that you can do. So you could see, okay, how much of a, how of whatever language you want to learn, can you learn in 3 months?
It's a great idea.
From now. And
you
know,
that's even something you could use as a job skill in the future if you get really good at it.
Mm-hmm. That's so, very true. Yeah. That's very true.
Yeah.
Or, you know, learning to sew or learning to knit, or what are some skills? How can you make this, put this time to best use, I guess?
Yeah. And, you know, I always, that's a great, great question. And maybe I can help people think a little bit on this, because one of the things that, like, whenever I have like a Christmas break, I mean, not that I'd always take one, but the kids have it, or mm-hmm. there's any sort of, you know, I'm going to take a vacation or whatever, I always think I'm going to do this or that, you know, I want to try to grow this thing or change that thing or whatever. And then I don't usually get it done. So now is a good time to do those little projects that you always think you're going to do and you never do. What else are you going to do? You know,
mm-hmm.
it's a good idea. Yeah. Let's see here. Oh yeah. Sky said some man was preaching about how we're going to die and it gave me anxiety attack. Yeah. I don't want to talk about any of that. I don't think that's it. I really don't believe that this is the end. I mean, I think we're just going, like I said, this happened in 1918, even though it's 100 years ago, it should give us a little hope to know that we'll get through it, you know, as a people,
mm-hmm.
you know, I have hope. And quite honestly, I mean, the toilet paper thing being what it is something, but I've not heard anyone say I don't have any toilet paper yet. Have you?
No, not really. But you know, that's not life or death. I mean, we still have, as long as we've got water,
right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, totally. But I haven't heard anybody say, I'm just saying there's not like, I don't really think outside of the toilet paper thing, I don't think there's, and the masks and stuff. I mean, we're getting, most of us are getting by. We have food, we have water, we have, you know, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Beth says her son's exams were canceled. He's upset, and she told her daughter she's gonna have to learn at home. She's upset. Two different people she's got on her hands. I get it. I've got two here, and I'm glad my son's not a senior this year, because I think that'll be especially rough for the seniors, missing prom and graduation and all that. That's possible. But yeah, they'll get used to the learning at home, and about the time they do, it'll be time to go back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I suspect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, you got a comment or a question for us?
Oh, let's see. People are just talking about things. Martha, I like this idea. She mentions that they, in their neighborhood, people have set up scavenger walks.
That's a great idea.
Which I don't know how they're necessarily doing that. There is a park near my dad's house in Houston, and they had a scavenger hunt thing. And so it was like a little book that you had, and they had all of these different sculptures and everything all over this park. And so you could go around have you found this one little thing, or have you found this other thing? And that could be fun, and that, you know, and to keep people from touching everything, you could even come up with, you know, 10 or 20 things that you either place around on a walk or that you notice, and then put that on, if you have a Facebook page for your community, post that on there. Like, here's the scavenger hunt. Can you find 10 things or whatever? I think a lot of other parents would be, especially of young children, would be thankful for something like that.
And maybe have them take a picture instead of picking up.
Yeah. That's even better. Yeah.
Yeah. this area that I live in, they do this thing where they, I don't know what they're called, but they have rocks and people paint the rocks. This is all the time, not just right now. And then they put them around the town and then people find them and go into the group and photograph, you know, the, hey, I found it. Mm-hmm. I guess some people keep them. When I found one, I re-hit it for fun because I don't contribute with actual rocks. but I thought that was a really cool, creative, fun idea. So
Absolutely.
E-Rock says, I feel like my forward momentum has to be put on pause. It included going to the gym, which are all closed now, looking for work, which I don't know, or businesses even hiring. I would just say this, E-Rock, I would say, first of all, hello. Secondly, I don't suspect many businesses are hiring, although I know like Amazon was hiring extra people for shipping. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, depending on where you live. But I would say don't say it's on hold. Just maybe shift the trajectory a little, maybe focus more on, you know, walking through the neighborhoods or, you know, even, you know, get on YouTube and look at those Sean T videos if you're looking for physical, if you're looking for a good workout, those, I mean, I know you can't tell by looking at me today, but I once lost a lot of weight with Sean T. His stuff really does work and it works fast. And I was looking pretty good. I probably should pull those out myself. But it's, that's something you can, I want you to change your mindset on this and don't be like, oh no, it's all over or it's all on pause, but be like, okay, well, I'm resilient. What's another way I can do this? You know, and as far as job stuff goes, maybe give yourself a break for a minute, unless you do happen to live near like an Amazon warehouse or something where you could, you know, where there's an actual job hiring, because I think most companies are probably going to have a freeze. What are your thoughts, Dana?
Yeah.
Other companies.
Yeah, it's tough. If you have certain skills, there's a website called Upwork.
Oh, yeah.
There's
Fiverr.com.
Yeah, Fiverr. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh, what is it called? ABC Kids. It's teaching English as a second language.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know about that.
There's another one, Cambly, CAMBLY. I don't know what the demand is because, you know, the whole world's kind of,
right,
you know, in a new era here, but those would be some places to look into.
Oh, and Amazon Turks is another thing. Amazon Turks, I think it's called.
Oh, the M-Turks thing? The translation?
No, it's like they give you little tasks to do, and it's just a, like you basically, you know, do you like this thing or what would you name this thing, stuff like that. But somebody I know does it, and it's like a few cents a task, but it can add up because the tasks just take a minute. Basically, it's like a kind of like a market research thing that people do. And I thought of something. Oh, Quora. Quora has a thing. I don't know if it's invite only. I happen to be invited to it for some reason. I don't do it, but you can ask questions that haven't been asked before, and then they place ads on your questions, and then you get paid by that. So if you can come up with questions that are, you know, unique, and I think anyone can do it. And then something about, I don't think you get paid for answers on, but you get paid for ads. So lots and lots of stuff out there, but be very careful if you're going to do something like this, because, you know, make sure it's a legit site. Like Google, you know, Fiverr.com isn't legit, but Fiverr is, I can tell you, with two R's. There are just tons and tons of ways you can make a little extra pocket money. I mean, when I was first starting out in business, maybe not when I was first starting out, but at one point along the way, when Fiverr was new, I had an account on there and I was doing, excuse me, little tasks and things. And I would make grocery money every week, you know, just like in my spare time on my phone, you know what I mean? So there's lots of things you can do, you know?
Yeah. And Max has a comment, says, I'd like to tell you about a Thrive discovery I've had from this situation. Mm. Well, please do tell.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that. Oh, E-Rock says, I'm trying to focus on gratitude for the things I have. I'm still clean. Yay. Congratulations, my friend. On my heart. Oh, and my heart really goes out to those who are still using and are crashing or going through some kind of withdrawal. See, there's something right there, E-Rock. You're not going through that because you got sober, and I'm really proud of you for that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And you know, there's so many things too that have moved to online. There are AA meetings and NA meetings.
That's right.
And a lot of church services, you know, it's amazing how quickly society has adjusted to this and how much has been moved online. You know, you think about with schools and everything going online, without the push of this coronavirus, they probably would have been a slow, you know, years and years, maybe the next 10 years before they really began going online. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when they get this under control and how much goes back to the in-person settings, because I think people are going to realize, oh my gosh, this online setting, especially with a lot of, really challenging schools, you know, you don't have fights, you don't have gang issues, you don't have anything other than really kids learning.
Right.
And you don't have the overhead of the building. You don't have the upkeep of the building. Like there's a lot of, interesting and potentially really positive shifts that can come out of this.
Yeah. And I think that the, what was I going to say? Oh, what two things. First of all, I see that happening in business as well, which is probably a positive thing. But then as a parent looking at the school situation, personally, it wouldn't bother me, except your kids aren't going to be socialized properly if they're not doing something in groups. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same online, no matter how much we want it to be. So that's my only concern about that, is they've got to come up with a way for kids to still socialize, if otherwise they won't know how to exist in the real world. But I mean,
but maybe they end up having a thing in local communities where, I don't know, like they rent there's a room that's rented, mm-hmm. you know, Monday through Friday, where the kids, there's a maximum number of kids, like 20 or 30 kids. And, you know, there's only one teacher. They only have one, you know, supervisor there or something. So,
I mean, I could definitely see this being a thing. Or like, you know, somebody said, well, what if we just took our core classes online and then we did our, you know, extracurriculars like band and art and things like that at school? And I thought, well, that's not a bad idea, you know, because then those are the classes kids are more likely to be able to talk to each other in anyway. So maybe a shortened school day would be something. I don't know. I would be shocked if I see this definitely changing the entire way that we live as humans a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
But it's some of it's good and some of it's scary to me, you know. Because if you've ever met, I need to be really careful when I say what I'm about to say. When I was a photographer back in college, mm-hmm. I would sometimes have homeschool kids come in, and this is before the days of enlightenment, when now homeschool kids are just as socialized as other kids because they get together in groups and do things. You know, I'm talking about people who are on purpose homeschooling, not registering their kids in a public school. Mm-hmm. And so it's different today, but 25 years ago or whatever, it was some of those kids that I would meet clearly had not been socialized, and there was something kind of off about some of them. And I don't mean any disrespect, because I'm certain they have always been amazing homeschool parents, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying where I lived at the time and the people that I met at the time, some of them seemed a little off, and it was because, and they weren't off, but they were just different than other kids because they hadn't been socialized with other kids. And maybe that's a good thing, but you know, but it was something that I would see. And so I was really, really very, and this is when I was a brand new mom, so I really didn't know all the things. I still don't know all the things. I know a lot more now though. But I told myself then, well, I'm definitely not doing that, you know, because of those people. But then again, I told myself a lot of things that I ended up doing. And this is one of those things I guess I'm doing now. So what am I talking about? Anywho. Oh, and here's a valid point. Banulos, I think it's Cindy, but I could be wrong, says, we have a child with an autoimmune disease, and my husband, of course, only thinks about himself. He's not going to get sick, is his mentality. I asked him to help keep our family safe. Well, I certainly hope that he does, because that's really dangerous, especially when you have a child with a compromised immune system. Any thoughts on that, Dana?
Yeah, it's frustrating when people don't see this as dangerous as it is. And, you know, like I was saying at the beginning of the live stream, I think the vast majority of us were in that phase of, oh, it's the media is just blowing this out of proportion. It's not that big of a thing. You know, they're fear mongering. We'll be fine. Right.
Yeah.
And now what we're seeing out of Italy is, no, this is very, very real. And this is could very well happen here if we don't do things soon. And it's really frustrating when you have somebody who's so, you know, ignorant or arrogant about it, and they're just going to keep doing whatever they want to do, and they're just in denial, basically. You know, all we can do is all we can do. And if you're married to this person, if you're in the house with them, then trying to just do extra damage control, because they're not going to get it. Unfortunately, I don't think some people will take it seriously until they get really sick.
I think that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. And let me correct myself. Grace says, E-Rock, there are businesses hiring. Google it. There's a list. I heard it on Dave Ramsey. Thank you, Grace.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and Sky says, you may have already read this. Tell me if you did. There's certain things on the news or people that trigger me, so I limit contact or none at all. Did you read that one already?
No, but I think that's a really valid point, is setting a limit on how much we're reading and consuming about the virus.
Yes.
And that's the thing with fear and with panic, is it can feel like, oh my gosh, I need to know everything about this every single hour, because if I don't, then I'm going to be in harm's way. And it's somehow irresponsible of me to not absorb this stuff 24/7, but it really has, it's not helpful. And we're all, you know, it's not helpful. Like, so putting a limit on how much you're reading and listening to stuff about this every day, making a point to really, to find things that are relaxing or enjoyable. There's tons of cute animal videos on YouTube, things that are completely different than all of this heavy stuff. And, you know, people had mentioned binge watching Netflix, you know, watching shows, picking up a new hobby, bringing some lightness and some entertainment into your life is important.
Especially now. Yes.
Especially now.
Yes, I totally agree. And I think, you know, for me, I usually check in, like with the coronavirus stuff, I'll check in like, you know, a couple times a day at the most, and just enough to see what's the latest, what are the bullet points, what do I need to know? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's because mostly we don't need to know anything right now, except when is it over, as long as we're doing what they're recommending that we're doing and staying home and not going out and getting ourselves infected, you know.
Yep.
It's pretty scary when you think about who, because you don't know. It takes 2 weeks. I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Jack said the UK is in lockdown. His friend owns a cafe shop and has let him live in it like Anne Frank instead of staying in my camper van. It's such a relief. I can finally relax for, oh my gosh, I can totally imagine.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Good news. Good news. Hey, Nargis, do you have a thing?
Oh yeah. Max had a follow-up here. Says, I've always felt in the back of my mind, even 3 years, no contact, that abusers were somehow exempt or able to get away with stuff. And this week, it's the first time I actually fully realized that they're not exempt. And that's an interesting point,
yeah,
because I do think a lot of people tend to feel that way, like that, man, these really people doing really awful things, they just seem to get away with it, and it's not fair. And something like this virus, it doesn't discriminate, you know, it can hit anybody. And yeah, I think it can be a good wake up call of, you know, they're not superhuman. They're not, you know, this can happen to them too.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. Yep. Sky Dream is glad people didn't hoard coffee.
Yes. No joke.
Indeed. Yeah. I will tell you, I buy it by the case already, so I'm good. Cause I buy like the big packs off of Amazon of like 100, you know, K-cups or whatever, ever since I switched to K-cups. Now this is a great point. And actually E-Rock says, I have all these books to read, lots of cleaning to do, of course, joining live streams on YouTube. Most 12-step meetings are closed down, but I'm taking the ones that are in place on Zoom. That's great. And I have to say, I have a lot of books I need to read as well. And in fact, today I got crazy and I ordered like 7 more off Amazon. So I'm a book nerd, but I need to actually read them. Otherwise I'm just wasting paper and money. So that is a great idea.
Yeah. Oh, wow. This changing my life says, my kid's dad was telling them that they can't get it. that their melanin will protect them. The entitlement of this narcissist, he thinks he is above this too. Yeah, there's a lot. I mean,
that's just ignorance.
It's delusion. I don't even know. Like, that's
a better word. Yeah.
Beyond ridiculous. I mean, it affects the lungs and it has nothing to do with melanin or anything else. I mean, it's, that's really, really frustrating. And hopefully you can do some damage control and correct your children. But that's what's so freaking frustrating, is encountering such delusion and willful ignorance like that.
Indeed.
And you just realize, I think in times like this, you just realize, okay, I am not dealing with a sane person. Like, this is that's delusional.
It is.
To and think something like that.
Yeah. And hopefully your kids aren't falling for that, because that puts them at risk, you know, serious risk.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, originally they were saying over 50 is at more risk than under 50 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now I'm hearing it all over the spectrum. And, you know, chances are, what is it, like 75% that you'll survive, but there's still that 25% chance. Just don't risk it. To me, I don't know. I've had pneumonia, which I know is not the same thing, but pneumonia is miserable, and it's a respiratory thing. You can't breathe. You know, I can't even imagine. I don't even want to.
Yeah.
Something I've done is I've picked up extra vitamin C gummies and different things, like, you know, supplements, and trying to make everybody in the house have a little extra vitamin C right now, and a couple other things for boosting immune systems. Never hurts, but excuse me. Do you have another one for us?
Well, I was just going to say too, you know, every time you leave the house, coming inside, just taking a 3-minute shower and just rinsing off, you know, washing your hands. I read a cute thing on Facebook the other day that I thought was a really great way to think about hand washing. And it said, basically, wash your hands like you just cut jalapenos and you need to take out your contacts.
Nice.
Yes. And that's exactly what it is. So,
yes,
you know, doing these kinds of things, washing your clothes on a more regular basis, you know, boosting your immune system, like the vitamin C, what you're saying, you know, eating as healthy as you can, getting sleep. And the mental health component really helps with the immune system. Stress,
truly,
you know, really does a number on an immune system. So trying to keep your stress as low as possible is always important, but especially now.
Yeah, totally. Yep. Oh, something just happened. Okay. I keep getting these darn notifications and I need to figure out how to, okay, well, anyway. Oh, okay. This is interesting. E-Rock said that Richard Grannon made a point that we wouldn't care if this was only affecting certain populations far from us, or animals dying out, not us per se, but the collective we. I think that's interesting. That I think that's probably a valid point. You know, like I said in the beginning, when it was in China, I mean, we were aware. We were concerned, but we weren't scared. You know what I mean? I wasn't. I didn't get scared until about a week ago, when they really started shutting everything down where I live. I mean, that just maybe 2 weeks now, but I'm losing track of the days. Okay, sorry. You got something for us?
Yeah, well, and that's what happens. You know, when you hear, that's kind of the downside, I think, or the unintended consequence maybe of being so interconnected as a society, is you start hearing about all of the tragedies across the world that are happening every single day, and it just becomes your new level of normal. So that level of shock, when you're only hearing about, you know, one school shooting every couple years, or you know, genocide every now and again, or whatever, you realize it's horrible, but it disturbs you and it moves you to action. If you're hearing about it all the time, it's sort of like this degree of learned helplessness.
Yeah.
So
that's a valid point.
And that's scary, when we start becoming apathetic, when we're hearing about major things going on in the world, and that's just an everyday thing.
Yeah. No doubt. Yeah. Shastina said this, all this stuff has depressed her. So now she's focusing on tasks to work toward goals, more visually dreaming and visually dreaming of those things. And that helps her be more hopeful and excited. I love that. That's really good. And Bonnie says, all this social distancing is so disturbing and heartbreaking and so isolating, especially when your grown kids feel they should keep a social distance from you to keep you safe.
Yeah. Well,
Bonnie, they're right. I mean, they are. And I know that's hard, but they're right. None of us are getting any younger. And it sucks, I know, but it's the right thing to do right now. I mean, honestly, if my kids weren't still children, I'm sure they wouldn't be coming to my house either, you know, during this time. It's hard. I know it's hard, honey. You got another one for us?
Oh, I'm just scrolling through here.
Here's one.
Go ahead.
This one's a little bit off topic, but Clausa says, aren't most abusers victims of abuse? And I would say, yeah, most, not all, but many. Yeah, they came out of either, not all. There are those overprivileged narcissists, but some of those even have a certain type of neglect, emotional neglect usually, because they're given everything, but they're not loved emotionally, or they're not feeling it. And then you've got, you know, those who did go through narcissistic abuse on their own and sort of just became that. Mm-hmm. But I would say, go ahead, Dana, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think most people that have damaging behavior, let's just back it up a little bit and not even say abuse. Like, most people that have damaging behavior have been damaged in some sort of way. The problem is we've all been damaged, right? So it's kind of the whole thing, you know, you're not responsible for what happened, but you are responsible for healing yourself.
That's
the difference. So, because people that are abusive, there is that huge spectrum. Yeah. There tends to be a couple of major events in their life that, might've kicked that off, that entitlement or that defensiveness or that power and control over others off. Maybe they had a parent who was abusive, or maybe they were bullied at school, or maybe they or made fun of, or maybe I don't know, there's that wide range, or it's just they feel inferior.
Right.
And so then they're trying to constantly be tough and prove themselves. And it could just be weird, you know, like low self-esteem. And that's how that's coming out of, I need to be the best. I need to be perceived as the best, kind of a thing. But the thing is, we all go through some degree of that. So that doesn't excuse, it's important to not excuse abusive behavior.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You know, if you watch these documentaries or any of these shows on, I don't know, different serial killers, and you kind of learn about their past, it's a whole wide range.
It is.
You know? So, yeah.
And like E-Rock says, you know, I don't know, but I know that it doesn't give us a free pass for, aren't most or all of us here also victims of abuse? And that's exactly kind of what you just said, because really it is. You know, what happens to you as a kid and even up to a point as an adult before you become aware of what's going on is what it is. But when you learn better, you do better, you know, and yeah, mm-hmm. There's no excuse. I mean, nope.
All right.
And if there is an excuse, it's when somebody makes a bad choice and then they try to resolve that or make it right if they can. You know what I'm saying? There are some cases where things happen, people don't mean for them to happen, and then, you know, it is what it is. But then, unlike a narcissist who will take no responsibility at all, these people will, you know, sometimes, you know.
And that's the thing. When you're dealing with somebody, you know, who doesn't take accountability for their actions, there's no personal growth possible. Mm-hmm. And it's a profoundly difficult. Nobody likes being wrong. Right? Like, no, and we all wish reality was the way that we wanted it. And it's difficult. It's profoundly difficult to be fully accountable for our own behavior. But if you're dealing with a person who's so lost in like their entitlement and their ego and consumed by that, you're dealing with a profoundly emotionally immature person.
That's right.
And so expecting, you know, mature actions from them is just, it's setting ourselves up to fail. Because we're not seeing reality clearly. So
valid point.
Yeah.
Ted Berry says, hey, Ted, he says, I've listened to so many cluster Bs and who are pretending this is all fake news. I've seen that too. I don't listen. You know, look, I see it this way, regardless of what is happening right now. I mean, regardless of whether it's real, or I'm sure it's real, but in fact, regardless of that, the fact is that they're giving us these instructions for a reason. And so, I don't know, keep yourself safe. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a great comment from Kat, who says, I want you all to know how inspiring you are. I put my big girl pants on, moved out, and I've gone no contact as of yesterday. Amazing. I selfishly hope he loses interest while he shelters in place.
Good for you. The same for you. Yeah. Congratulations, Kat.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
That's huge. That takes a lot of bravery and courage, and that's a lot of change all at once in your life. So I also really hope that you can kind of shore up your dams, so to speak, and or sandbag around yourself where you can get that social support lined up before you really need it. Mm-hmm. And kind of anticipate how, you know, because it's a wide mix of emotions. Change always involves a wide mix of emotions.
That's right.
So if you start feeling kind of nostalgia kicking in, or anxiety or fear or overwhelm, how are you going to handle that? Coming up with a plan to handle that before you need to is really helpful. And then also kind of working towards filling that void in your life with positive things, with enjoyable things. We were talking about, you know, cultivating hobbies and participating. There's tons of groups and stuff that are now online. Mm-hmm. Engaging in that way can really help.
Yeah. Somebody added me to I don't know what they call it, virtual karaoke or something. Somebody added me to a group on Facebook that's about, you know, karaoke online or whatever. It's just so cool. I haven't actually had the chance to look at it yet, but I think that's a great idea. Similar to the balcony singing of the Italians.
I do too.
Good.
I lost the comment here, but somebody had said something about wanting to get their abuser to leave, but feeling bad about kind of sending him out into the coronavirus, basically.
Yeah. You might, if you can make him leave and he has a place to go, you'll be okay. But I think the concern will be that if you're trying to legally evict him, they're going to stop you right now, unless you can maybe prove, I don't know, call the police and have him carted off if he's physically abusing you. But outside of that, I don't know what do you think, Dana? Is there any legal recourse she can take while this is happening?
Well, I think it depends on what the situation is. You know, if his name is on the lease or on the title of the property, mm-hmm. that's going to be challenging, and she'd be better off removing herself from the situation.
Yeah.
You know, if he's just kind of setting up camp at your place and doesn't really, you know, his name's not on anything or whatever, and you'd have to call the non-emergency police, because even then, sometimes there's this, 30 days notice needs to be given. But if somebody's got really awful behavior, there's consequences for that. So you're not sending him out into the virus. His behavior is sending him out into the virus. It's not reasonable to expect to treat other people like garbage and for them to just sit there and put up with it indefinitely.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, I'm totally with you on that one. Here's something that I think we need to address at least today. E-Rock says it's tough because I don't want people. He doesn't want to feel like a bad person for not taking care of his parents, but they literally don't care about me, and I'm hurt, and my siblings, and I'm hurt. Me and my siblings, and have hurt. I think he meant to say, me and my siblings in deplorable ways. And I want to say this. This is. I think anyone who's gone no contact with parents probably at this point in time are thinking similar thoughts. I personally have done that, and believe it or not, I haven't thought that once, but that's because I think I've worked on healing and being okay with my choice. So Iraq, the choice that you made to go no contact was for your own safety and sanity. And you can't dwell on that right now. This is one of those too much time to think things, I think. But Dana, I know you've got some good advice on this. What are your thoughts on guilt with narcissist parents we've gone no contact with right now?
Yeah, well, I think it's definitely challenging, but kind of back to back up what you're saying, Angie, you know, there's appropriate guilt and then there's inappropriate guilt. And,
yes.
You know, appropriate guilt is when we do something wrong and we feel bad for it. That's appropriate. We should feel guilt when that happens. Inappropriate guilt is when we feel bad when we didn't do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And this kind of guilt tends to really go hand in hand with a lot of survivors of abuse, because they still get caught up in the kind of societal expectations of, or even their own expectations of, well, but they're my parents and, you know, I need to forgive and forget, or they did the best they could, or all of these things. And then they start feeling, well, maybe I need to soften up a little bit and reopen contact. And, just remember that no contact that you put in place, this isn't to punish them. It was to protect yourself.
Right.
So it's completely up to you. If you want to re-navigate those boundaries during this time, that's up to you. There is no, you know, right or wrong way to do this. It's just what you, and you'll know, like you know what you need to do in order to stay safe and sane. And just keep that as your North Star.
Right.
So if you do decide, okay, well, I guess I just want to call them or talk to them for I could do that for 5 minutes a week. If that's what you decide, go for it. See how that goes. If that doesn't work, then you back it up again.
I do want you to recognize, though, that in most cases, these people do not change.
Yes.
I tried reconnecting with my family previously, and it was a bad idea. They were exactly the same. Everything was the same. Nothing changed.
Yes.
You know, so.
And I think that's really valid. It's because it can be easy to kind of get caught up in the fantasy, too, of, well, now that, you know, this kind of feels like the world's melting, that maybe now I can have this, a decent relationship with them. And so it's definitely important to manage your expectations. Yeah. If you do think about reopening contact, but I fully support you as well. I know Angie does too, of holding that line and not reopening contact.
Yeah, I agree. I know it's hard, and I know that it's one of those things, but yeah, just like Bonnie and E-Rock both, they're saying, you know, people are trying to Hoover or whatever. And I think we can't, it's just important, as is important as always, to keep yourself emotionally safe. I think psychological safety is a big term right now that people are using, and they're meaning it about the workplace, but it fits here too. You know, Jedi Frogmaster says, yeah, cognitive dissonance affects us all.
Certainly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Bonnie makes the comment, the last thing I need to do is get back in touch with the narcissists in my life. They will just continue to use and abuse, especially now during this worldwide emergency.
You're darn right.
I think
Bonnie,
that's a really valid point. It's probably also a good time, if you guys haven't, to take out a pen and paper or type it up or however you want to do it, or put it on your phone, of the kind of for when you miss them list.
That's a great idea.
And on that list of all of the reasons as to why you went no contact, because nostalgia can pull us back and we start thinking about the good times and how things used to be, or how we hope things could be, mm-hmm. and all of this. And so when you are feeling that pull for nostalgia, to pull out that list, and it'll remind you of, oh, right, this is why this relationship is toxic. And I can't go back.
Yeah, totally.
I can't open the door again to that.
I agree. And Crystal says the narcissist in her house is refusing to take preventative measures and knows I'm an at-risk person. Pretty sure he's hoping he'll be exposed and then expose me to becoming ill just for spite. And Crystal, sadly, I think that's a real possibility. So I would recommend wash your hands as often as you can, you know, keep your distance. If you have a mask or like Dana said, even a bandana around that you can wear over your face. I know that sucks at home, but protect yourself. Your health is so important. Yeah. I'm so sorry that you're dealing with that. That must be nerve-wracking.
Yeah. And, you know, many domestic violence shelters are open
that's right.
This time. So that's another possibility as well. Depending on their funding, even if they're full, they still might be able to help either redirect you to a different shelter or put you up somewhere. I know, like in California, they were taking a lot of the homeless people and putting them up in motels and hotels and you know, different places just to get them off the street and into a more of a quarantine.
Yeah. And you have to wonder, why don't we do that all the time? But anyway, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to bring this out before we forget. Shastina said that's a great idea, and label them, the list in your cell phone, as a read list. I think that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. So that in case anyone looks anyway.
Yeah. That's a really great point. Yeah. Label it as something else.
Right. Something boring. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Blue Moon says, do most abusers always have to be right? And I would say, yep, at least in my experience, they can't stand being wrong. And if they are wrong, they'll twist it around so that they were really right all along, but they, you know, somehow they have to be right.
Or if they do, admit that they're wrong, it's not sincere. Yes. Like, it's all part of the manipulation. So I think it really depends on the emotional awareness that some abusers have, because some of them can be really, really convinced. I mean, Bill Cosby, right?
Yeah.
Like, people like that can really do a great job of seeming like they care and that they're sincere and that they, you know, all they can really put on a great front, but you'll see if their behavior really changes over time.
For sure. E-Rock says, I just walked right by the lady in my building. She's talking about one of his harassers, who's horrible. Mm-hmm. What's crazier is that she and my mother are so similar. I guess I got in touch with a core wound there. Yeah. I don't know if you did he talk about this before your, with the lady that lives in his building and has harassed him and called him horrible names and called the police on him. And the police are like, we understand. We know who she is. Did you hear that story yet?
No, I don't think so.
It's messed up. He'll tell it to us in our next session, I'm sure.
Okay.
But it's a really, it's a bad situation. And the mother, so he's now recognizing a connection between this person and the mother. And I think sometimes on some level, as we're going through recovery, I heard this actually on a TV show a long time ago, and it said something like, I'm going to quote it wrong, but the general sentiment will be there. Something like, we spend our entire childhood trying to be adults, and then we spend our entire adulthood trying to resolve everything that went wrong in our childhood or something. Yeah, so I agree. Anyway, do you want to pick up anything else before we get ready to wrap up for today?
No, I think that I guess I would just encourage everybody to find now is the time for gratitude, and now is the time to focus on the good. You know, I'm a big believer that the antidote to fear is gratitude, and we only have so much control. And so at this point in time and in our lives, it's important to realize what we have control over and what we don't have control over, and what we do have control over to take comfort in that. And, reach out to, there's lots of different support systems out there. There are lots of different groups online, and if you're struggling, you're not alone, and we will get through this. Like, these are some dark days. We will get through this, and hopefully we'll come out as a stronger, more interconnected society for it.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Excuse me, I had a little coughing fit. Yeah. Don't worry, it's allergies. Anyway. Okay. So Dana, excuse me. Thank you so much for being here.
Yes. Want me to wrap up? Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you guys so much for being here. This is a live stream that we do. We try to do every Tuesday, 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we alternate channels. So next week we'll be over on my channel, which is Thrive After Abuse. These live streams normally run for about an hour or so, but we'll just kind of see. Trying to think if there's anything else. Angie Atkinson, if you want to, please like and subscribe to her channel. You can find her across the internet, Angie Atkinson. She's wonderful. And we will see you guys next week.
And don't forget, Dana's all around the internet as Thrive After Abuse. Also amazing and wonderful.
Oh, okay,
we'll see you next week. Thanks,
okay,
Dana.
This take care, guys.
All right. See everybody. Bye.
Bye.